Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Starting with verse 1. I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to read the first 9 of the 13th chapter. It talks about a parable of 3 types of soil. You've heard it before, but I want you to listen this morning with open ears, because one of these type soils is your life this morning. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. A great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony ground, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. And he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for the reading your word. And Lord, at this time, we just ask that you touch our hearts with this word, that we might understand it and that we might see ourselves here. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. This is a parable called the sower and the seed, and Jesus gives the conditions of the ground on which the seed are sown. You know, good ground yields forth quite a bit. Bad ground doesn't yield that much. Some yield nothing at all. Some springs up and dies away. But the Bible says, listen, a sower went forth to sow. Now, the problem doesn't lie with the sower. He's sowing the seed. Or the seed. The seed is the Word of God. And we know that we are supposed to sow the seed, the Word of God, wherever we go. But the problem is the ground. And the ground represents you and I here today. I just imagine in a church this size and in the auditorium with this many people, there's some that are on the wayside, some are on the stony, some are where the thorns choke it out, and then there's some that are on the good ground, producing much fruit. But in any situation, there's all kinds of ground right here in our church. And the problem today is not the sower or not the seed. The Bible says the seed is that incorruptible seed, the perfect seed. It's the Word of God. But the problem is our hearts, the heart of man. We're sinful, aren't we? What you do with the Word this morning determines owing how you're going to live. Some people do not receive the Word at all. As I stand here and preach Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, and so many times the Word goes out and it just goes in one ear and out the other. You see me here, you come here, you hear, but you do not really hear. I've done that many times. I hear, but I don't really hear. You may say that's kind of odd, but you know, that's the way we go. It just goes in one ear and out the other. And it's forgotten about. It never germinates. Those who refuse to hear the Word of God, their lives are hard and they're indifferent. And they're indifferent to the seed. They're indifferent to the Word of God. The sower may plant it, or the preacher or a teacher may plant the Word of God, but you'll never allow it to come into your heart. You never allow it to enter your life. You see, you don't let it set up a permanent residence in your life. It's the wayside ground. The ground in your heart is the wayside ground. You do not let it have root in your life. In those days, and they still walked many trails over there, the trails were packed down. And the seed fell on these trails, and since it was all packed down, it never took root. Some of you come to church Sunday after Sunday, don't you? You're here. I've heard people say, well, you know, I come to church. I go to church. But they never receive the message of the Word. Their hearts are hard. They're just like that stony ground. They reject what's being taught. They reject the Word of God. They refuse to listen to what the Word of God says. They never let the message into their life. You see, the Bible says this is a message that can change your life. It leads to repentance. You need to turn your life around, start living for God. But you never do. You see, you think something like church attendance will get you to heaven. Well, if I attend church regular, I'll get to heaven. No, you won't. If you hear the Word of God and you pay very little attention to it, it doesn't change your life any. You're like the wayside ground, and you are deceived. The Bible says the old devil, Bill preached on it a while ago to the kids, the devil, boy, he's a liar. He hates your life. He will deceive you. He will tell you all kinds of things in your life. He will deceive you into believing that if you go to church and church attendance is what's most important, that one day when you die, well, you'll go to be with God because you've went to church every Sunday morning. But that's the wayside ground. You see, I think of the Bible when it talks about many places in the Bible that the Word was preached. I think about Noah. We just studied Noah, and Noah preached and preached and preached and preached for 120 years. He stood and sowed the Word of God. He put it out there so people would hear it, and they rejected the message of God. No one listened to him. And when the flood came, then they wanted in, but God shut the door. There comes a time in your life when you come to church, you harden yourself against the Word of God, you hear it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you say, well, you know, I've done that, I go to church. He's not talking to me. The Holy Spirit surely is not talking to me because I still go to church. But it hasn't changed your life. And yes, He is talking to you. The Holy Spirit is. He's talking to your heart right now and saying, yeah, you're one of these. You just won't allow God to come in. And one day, the scary thought is, the Holy Spirit's no longer going to knock on your heart's door. And it'll be like the door that was shut on the ark. You can't get in after the door shut. Isn't that sad? Don't you know that Noah would have liked to open the door and save some people? But he couldn't, because God shut the door. I don't want to see you die and go to hell. I love every one of you. My desire is to see every one of you in heaven. And that's what God desires. He said, I wish that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Every single one of you. He said, I want to come to eternal life. But see, you're not going to if you shut the door. Oh, Paul preached to Felix. And he said, Paul, I'm not going to believe that message. Folks, that's what the wayside ground is. You preach and you preach and you preach and you sow the word. The word's good. It's the same word that we see young people come to, older people come to, and they say, yes, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the word touches their heart and they come and their lives are changed. And you say, well, you know, I'm as good as they are. But you're not saved, you see. I remember Peter preached on Pentecost, at Pentecost. And the Bible says many were saved and many were not. And I think about the Word of God goes out every Sunday all over our, all over the world, really. We've got missionaries all over the world. We've got other missionaries belong to other denominations that are all over the world. They're preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, the word goes out. Every Sunday morning, the word goes out all across our nation on televisions. I hear the word go out. Brother Charles Stanley preached this morning, the word went out. You got to kind of watch who you listen to on television, but if you listen to Charles Stanley, he won't lead you wrong. But let me tell you something. Just because the word is going out doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved. There's those people that listen to the word every Sunday morning in churches, on the radio, and television for missionaries, and yet they reject the word of God. You may be saying right here this morning, I know that Jesus loves me. I know that he died for me. But unless you let him into your life and ask him to come into your life, just knowing it with head knowledge is not enough. You see, I know that some of you say, well, preacher, I've been reading the Bible ever since I was a little kid. I know that story. I've heard that parable before. Somebody told me one time, said, preacher, I know all of those stories you tell in the Bible. I said, yeah, why don't you let them into your heart? You see, that's where it is. We've got to not only know them up here, we've got to let them be realized in our heart and ask Christ to make them real to our life. And the reality of the life beyond ought to move us to love God even more. And yet, people still refuse to listen to God. And the wayside ground is a dangerous place. Because the seed is always falling and going forth, and yet on the wayside, people are always coming and packing it down so that it will not produce. And some of you will leave here this morning, and you've heard the word from the Bible, and yet you will reject it. You will reject it. Oh, the foolishness of man to die and to go to a place of lostness, when you could have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you could trust Him as your Lord and Savior, if only you would let Him in. Now, that's the wayside. And then there's some who fell, it says, that fell on stony places. Stony places. Well, you know, that's where sometimes it grows just a little bit, maybe take a little dirt in and lies, springs up when a rain comes, but soon it dies away. We've been going up through South Dakota just about every year. You know, South Dakota is amazing to me. When you go up through South Dakota, you see some of the prettiest wheat fields, prettiest corn crops you'll ever see. Man, it is beautiful. There's one place up through there. There's a national refuge. It is beautiful, I'm telling you. And then right on above that is the Badlands. It is dry. It is just as dead. There's nothing that seems to be growing out there. It's just old limestone, rock, soil. Nothing will grow there. It's been that way for years and years and years. And I'm thinking, how in the world should something be so beautiful 5 miles down the road and so dry right here? Well, that's what the stony places are. Some people come to church and they have an interest in religion. An interest. And these people are interested enough in religion that they go to church, they listen to the word, and they're excited about it, but they go out and there's no heart change. And the Bible says they received it with joy. They have a little joy. I think of this type of religion as an emotional type religion. I've seen people over the years, they'll come to church, and man, the preacher get up there and preach. They'll listen to music like this, and they just get so excited about it. Some come down and make a decision, but it's not based on the heart. It's based on emotionalism in their mind, and the Bible calls that stony ground. They never really surrender their life, their emotions maybe in a few moments, and when someone comes along and times are rough, they lose that. And they go back to the world. They never let it in to their heart. The hearer has to retain that word of God. Matthew 13:21 says, and when tribulation and persecution arises, they fall by the wayside. Well, preacher, I used to go to church, but you know what? I had some trouble. And God didn't seem to help me. And they fall out of church. How many times I've heard, well, I used to go to church, but I've had a bad experience with church. I said, man, I have had a bad experience with hamburgers, but I still love them. I had a bad experience with a bunch of shrimp one time, but I still love them. They give me a headache. You know that? When I eat shrimp, I always get a headache just about it. But let me tell you what. It's worth it. It's worth it, man. No, I don't understand people who say, well, I had a bad experience up there at that church, and I'm just not going to go at all. It was all emotionalism to them. They fall by the wayside. They fall on stony places. And then the Bible says some have conflicting interests. They fell among thorns, the seed did. I think about this as a double-minded person. They don't know really exactly what they want to do, and the Bible says they're sown there, and the thorns grow up and literally choke them out. I've been pulling up grass burrs. You ever have a problem with grass burrs? The trouble is, if you leave them there, they're just going to keep growing and multiplying. And so I get out there with my little shovel, and when I see the grass burrs growing, I'll dig that little plant up, try not to uproot everything else, and throw it out. Well, you know, they choke the other plants out. They choke the other grass out. And it's the same way some people go to church for a while, and they spring up, and they start blooming, and the thorns of problems come their way. The Bible says here, the cares of life keeps the plants from being what they ought to be, keeps the Christian from being what he ought to be. Remember upon a day Jesus invited Mary and Martha. I love that story. Mary and Martha, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to her teachings, and Martha was in the kitchen. You know, some women are Martha, some are Marys. But Martha was in there, and what she was doing was preparing food for the guests. Now, that's not bad. You know, I kind of like those Marthas. They prepare that food. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, Martha, why have you been cumbered with so many things? He says, Mary is sitting here at the best part. She's listening to the teachings of God. And folks, there's times in our life when we need to let the problems of the world, we need to forget about them and listen to the Word of God and benefit from the Word of God. But sometimes people become so weighed down and burdened, they forsake Christ. They're so absorbed in their own cares of life that they do not grow. Well, preacher, I'd have been to church today, but you know, my house needed cleaning. I was going to have company come over, or my kids were coming in, and I wanted everything beautiful, so I forgot about God. You know, it might sound good at the time that you're concerned about your children and you're concerned about your house and you want to have a nice place for them, but what about God? Don't you want to have a nice heart for Him? I do. We let the pleasures of the world. Well, preacher, you know, I'd have come to church, but my kids or my grandkids had a ball game, and you know, I just had to go see them. You know, you don't get to see them often. You're choking out God. And you're teaching them that God's important, but not as important as seeing your kids grow up in ball game. I tell you what, when my kids were at a ball game and I had church, they knew I'd be at church. I loved them. But you know what? They knew that Daddy loved God too, and that he had a responsibility to God. And there'd be more ball games. There won't be no more time to give God sometimes, just what we've got now. Serve Him with your whole heart. And they use that word unfruitful as energy for the world's attractions. I believe a lot of times our church members are robbing the church with the time they put in on their problems, and not only that, the thorns of possessions. Man, thorns of possessions choke out God's word. Jesus says here, the deceitfulness, and I like that word, deceitfulness of riches. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I've got to work on Sunday. I've got to make that money. I had a guy tell me not long ago, well, preacher, I had to work on Sunday. That's all right. I understand you have to work on Sunday. Somebody has to work on Sunday nowadays, that we're in a worldly system and everybody, you know, wants the churches. You know, Baptists are bad. Do you want the restaurants open on Sunday? And that causes people to have to work. That causes them to miss church. And I understand some of them have to work. But you know what? It says the deceitfulness of riches. I asked that old boy, and I said, you know, you have to work every Sunday. You have to work on Wednesday night. How about coming Wednesday night? He's got an excuse for everything. How about Sunday night? You ain't working on Sunday night, are you? Well, you know, there's always another excuse. And what you're really saying is, I just don't want to go to church that much. But it is deceitful riches that is dangerous. And Jesus says, lay not up treasure for yourself in heaven, but and not in on the earth. Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, not on earth. And most of the time, we're doing right opposite, aren't we? We're laying them up on earth and not in heaven. Don't let the deceitfulness of riches choke God's word and your usefulness out of life. Then there's always the thorns of pleasure, man, the thorns of pleasure. Evil pleasures. Man, the word of God is choked out by the coldness and the evilness of our life. I want you to come back tonight. Would you come back tonight? I ask you that every Sunday, don't I? But you're going to let the pleasures of the world choke it out. You're not going to come back on Sunday night. Well, preacher, other churches are dismissing Sunday service altogether. Isn't that sad that they find no time for God? I really believe we're in the last days, folks. That's what the Bible says. The earth is just choking God out. People all the time say, man, ain't our world bad? And I said, yeah, you're part of it. It's bad when you won't come back on Sunday night. Give God a little time. You always find time to do things you want to do. Can't you give God just a day? You see, the pleasures of the world and pleasures of possessions and the pleasures of the world's problems are choking God out of our life, and we're becoming unfruitful. No wonder. I heard Tony Crisp the other day. Tony is the one that we went to Jerusalem with. He's a Bible scholar and a great teacher on the Word of God. And he was telling about when he got back from Africa, when he tried to come into Africa, they stopped him and said, no, you can't come back if you got a little fever. You might cause Ebola to break out. And he said, man, we've already got a disease worse than Ebola in the United States that's killing more people than Ebola ever thought about killing. And we don't test for it. And he went on and told her about how many percentage of our young people die with this disease and how many percentage of our adults die of this disease. And finally he says, you know what it is? And she said, no. What is killing all the people? Fatherless homes, he said. Fatherless homes. You've got two women living together trying to raise a family? That's not what God intended. You got two men trying to raise a family? That's not what God intended. You've got people living together without being in marriage? That's not what God intended. She didn't want to hear all that. And then you've got fatherless home, no father figure. No wonder our kids are committing suicide at such a high rate. Why don't you test for that when they come into America? More people are driving drunk and dying of alcohol than they are Ebola, and we just say, that's all right. We're in sad shape, aren't we? Our country's in sad shape, and it's all because the word is being sowed and people are not receiving the word in their hearts. Problems, possessions, and pleasures. Unfruitful life. Now, which one of those you might be in this morning? Boy, I would like to say everybody here is not in that category, but I know that some are. Some of you are in that category. You're either by the wayside, stony ground, you're there. The cares of life are choking you to death. You don't know where to turn. Turn to God. Look at what it says. And some receive and keep the word of God. Oh, this is good ground. Some fell among thorns, some fell among thorny places, some on the wayside soil. But, you know, when you sow the seed, some of it falls on good ground. It falls out there where the ground is wonderful. And the sowing of the good seed is never a total failure. You know what? We went to Africa and we went there for 2 weeks, or not really 2 weeks, but somebody said we preached the word and 19,000 people that week came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And they said, preacher, how do you know 19,000 received the Word of God? I said, I don't. But I know one thing. Out of all those 19,000, that seed fell on some good ground. And the good ground is multiplying. And the good ground is producing Christians. And that's the same way it is in church. How do you know you're saved? I don't know that you're saved. Only you and God can answer that. All I do is throw the seed out there. Week after week after week, share the word of God. And I pray that it's falling on good ground. Good ground is these people are productive. All the good ground, listen at it, doesn't produce the same results. Look at what it says. Some yielded a crop of 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. All are not equal. But let me tell you something. All produce something. Now, have you won anybody to Christ this year? You're not sowing the seed, or you're on one of the other grounds. You're not good ground, are you? Because all the good ground produces something good. Don't get mad at me. Look at the Word of God. That's what it says. The good ground produces fruit. It's a fruit-bearing ground. I hear that here's the Word of God, remains faithful to the Lord. He doesn't stray. He keeps the Word of God in his heart. He reads the Word of God when he gets up in the morning. He reads the Word of God when he goes to bed at night. He comes to church. He goes to Bible study. He listens to what the teachers have to say. He's going to be rewarded by his faithfulness to God. Man, don't you want to get to heaven one day and hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? How do you hear? You see, I started off by saying, all of us are on one of these grounds. You're on the wayside, you're on the stony, you're on the thorny, or you're on the good. What are you going to do about it now? You've heard it. You've got to respond to it. Will you say this morning, yes to Christ, I want to be on the good ground. I'm tired of being trampled down by the devil. I'm tired of that. I want to plant my seeds into good ground. I want to grow. I want to multiply. I want to do something for God. If you do, then you got to make a decision to live by faith, to trust God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to simply say, I'm going to trust Christ. Not be emotionalism, but simply a heart decision. By faith, I'm going to trust Christ today. I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to follow him all the way. You see, all the way, all the way. All the way to Calvary will I go. Some of you have heard the word, and you're saying, well, he's not preaching to me. I'm all right. I'd begin to wonder. If you stay home tonight, you're probably one of the other three. If you stay home Wednesday night, you might be one of the other three. Preacher, that's pretty hard. Well, life is hard, isn't it? It's hard. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. The walk to Calvary was enough to make me realize he loved me so much, I want to serve him with my whole heart. Because of Calvary, I want to serve him. I want to love him. I thank God for my blessings that he's given me. Children like we saw up here that love the Lord. Man, won't you serve him today? Won't you give your life wholeheartedly to him? There's no telling what he might do in this church if every one of us today would say, Lord, right now I'm going to commit my life to you. I'm going to live for you with your help. Every step I make is going to be for you. I want to turn my life around. You can't do it on your own. You just got to surrender to God and let him do it. I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. But the only difference, some of us are forgiven and some of us are not. Man, I thank God that I can go to him and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Brother Perry brought it out this morning in our Sunday school lesson. All sin is against God. And when we confess that sin to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us, pick us back up, put us on the right track again, and go on and bear fruit. Let me tell you something I've noticed about my life. When I'm trusting Christ like I should, I'm at perfect peace in my life. I don't have to worry about anything because I know that God is with me all the way. When I sin, I'm wondering, Lord, are you still with me? He's there, but the fellowship's broken because I can't hear him speaking to me as he was. Sin does that. And when I sin, I want to get right with him as quick as I can. because I don't want to be by myself and try to walk through this life. You just can't do it. If you're here this morning and that fellowship is broken, you've got sin in your life that you've been harboring, a grudge, a sin, why don't you come to the front and just kneel and ask God to forgive you? You know, some people say, well, if I go down there, they'll know that I've got sin in my life and I'm confessing it. You know what? I won't think bad of you, and I know God won't think bad of you. And if they think bad of you out there, they need to be down here confessing too. And if they're not producing any fruit, I guarantee you. So would you come this morning if you're saved, you know that you're saved and you want to bear fruit and you're not bearing fruit, why don't you come and just kneel at the altar and say, this morning, Lord, I want to get on the right track. If you're lost and you've never trusted Him, why don't you get on the right track? Get on that narrow road I talked about a few weeks ago and live your life for Christ. Give your life to Him. Follow through in baptism. I'll be glad to talk to you about how you can grow your life in Christ. Maybe you're looking for a church home here this morning, and this is the place God's led you, and you feel comfortable, and this is what God wants you to do. Why don't you come and join with us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. Lord, we give You praise for it. Lord, we just realize that if Your Holy Spirit doesn't convict, then they won't come. So convict them, Lord. Let them come, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.